As you probably know, usually when I come and speak here or other people from the central team, we usually get a free-for-all to speak on whatever we want, which is nice, but it kind of means that, you know, we're trying to, for myself, I'm sure for everyone else as well, you know, you're like, God, what do you want to say to whichever congregation it is at this time? So I was doing that as usual, and a few weeks ago I thought, right, I definitely know what I'm going to speak on. And then a few days ago I thought, actually, I don't even think I can speak on that yet because I don't understand it properly myself, so it wouldn't be very much help for you. So I was really pushing into God, and still at 11 o'clock last night I didn't know what I was speaking on today. I was like, oh God, I don't understand. I actually said to God, well, maybe I just need to face the fact that I'm not the one who's going to speak tomorrow. Maybe someone else is going to have a word, because I just didn't know what it was. And then in that moment of desperation, after a whole time of trying to find out what God was saying, I felt like God say, no, you've got it. And the simple phrase came to me that I feel God wants to bring to you guys today is that God is jealous for you. God is jealous for you. And this morning, I just want us to look at the jealousy of God and kind of just believing that the Holy Spirit is going to bring fresh revelation to us to understand God's jealousy, that it will just take us into a new dimension as we come into 2010. So are you up for that? Good. Any audience participation is very welcomed. So just start off by going with me to Exodus 20. Most of you will know that this is the Ten Commandments that God gives to Moses for his people. And if you just look at verse 4, God says, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. So for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You know, when I was a child and I read that passage or heard it read, obviously maybe it's not obvious, but I didn't really understand exactly what it meant. And in a way, although I knew, I remember having these thoughts as a child that God is a loving God, but when you hear that God is a jealous God, you kind of, like, if you don't fully understand it at first, get this image of God as this distant person who is somehow insecure and he has to have all of you because he's jealous for you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so like if we can think of the word jealous as a human emotion, which is usually a negative thing, where maybe we're jealous of this person because they have things that we don't have, or they haven't had certain bad things happen to them. We just think, oh, if only I had their life, things would be so much better. And that kind of jealousy can come up in all kinds of ways. It consumes us and it's very destructive. But the jealousy of God is something different. This here, where God is saying he's a jealous God, it's not because he's this distant God that demands something of us. It's because it's coming from that place of his deep heart and affection towards us as his children, that he wants such a level of relationship with us where he will share all of his heart with us in return for us sharing all of our heart with him. And he's jealous for that. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Is anyone amazed? You know, last night I was, I'm actually going to take my coat off now. Last night when I was having some time with God, I actually read the whole of Revelation, and because I thought it would be quite interesting to read it in one go. I still don't understand it, but there we are. Anyway, but some of the things that I was really hit as I was reading Revelation is if you read it and there's different descriptions of Jesus in all different ways, and as you just read it, you're hit by the awesomeness of God. You know, human words can't really describe how awesome God is, but there's something in it that you just capture hold of. Wow, God is an awesome God. You know, sometimes we don't always focus on the awesomeness of God. You know, just how awesome he is. I mean, I haven't really got words to describe it. The nearest I had to experience it was actually about 10 years ago when I was praying, I was at university and I was praying in my room by myself, and I was just praying about a particular situation, and for a few seconds, it was the most amazing experience I've ever had, but it was really scary. I actually felt like God came into my room, and I was so scared that I just couldn't move. I was like kneeling down on the floor, and it was only for a few seconds, but I just knew it was God, and it was the most scary thing, because it was like something of the awesomeness of God had come into my room, and I was like, oh, I can't move. I couldn't even move a, you know, anything. It was just scary, but not in a kind of bad way. It's because God is so awesome. And if we think this God, who is absolutely awesome, is looking for a level of relationship that maybe we don't even realize that he's looking for us, that he is jealous for us. And so, you know, I'm just trusting that Holy Spirit is going to give us more and more revelation of what this means, because there is something more than we have experienced that is available to us in depths of relationship with God. There is something awesome, and there's an invitation for us to push in for it. Let's just look at some other verses. Exodus 34, verse 14. So again, this is the same kind of thing where God is speaking to the Israelites, and he says, "You shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." It's interesting here where it says that his name is Jealous. You know, it's something about him that is that jealous, but in that kind of good sense of the word, that he... You know, that God, if we just think about this for a moment, God in his very core is love, he's good, he's relational, and he looks for that level of relationship. And you could see it in some ways that since the beginning of time, our time on the earth, that God in creating us has been looking for that intensity of relationship, that he has had within him that level of passion and affection, that level of love within him available for us to enjoy. So when I'm like seeing that it's saying his name is Jealous, this is what I'm kind of feeling that it means, is that in the essence of who God is, he has this zealous, passionate affection that is available for us to experience as his children. That, you know, it's just far beyond what we could possibly imagine. It is available for us. And that's in the core of who he is. And so we see that there. So we kind of, if you look through scripture, and I encourage you to maybe look this up, go on BibleGateway.org and like just type in the word jealous and see what scriptures come up, and you can see that it's a constant theme going throughout the history of the Israelites. If you go to Deuteronomy 4 verse 24, we see again that Moses, he's about to die and he's reminding the people, it says, to not forget the covenant they have with God. And it says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Again, it's another image we have of God, consuming fire. I kind of think about it, that his passion, the level of passion that he has. You know, we all know, usually, you know, it's often when you see a teenager falling in love and it's all very, very passionate and they're consumed by it. Jack is looking lovingly into Jess's eyes at the moment. And, you know, it consumes them. It's like this consuming fire. I'm sure that can happen at other ages as well, but, you know, it seems to happen more for teenagers. And it's just a really great thing. And that is because that is reflecting something of God is. He's consumed with this passion. Psalm 78, verse 58. And this is often a thing we see running through the scriptures as well, about how, you know, God, because he is so desperate to have this level of deep relationship with us, and he has this jealousy for us, that when we turn from him, and there's, you know, we know that the history of the Israelites is up and down, being devoted to God, worshipping idols, all this kind of thing is going on. And here it's talking about after the Israelites had taken the land, the promised land, and they turn away from him again, it says, "For they provoked him with their high places," they're talking about where they're worshipping idols, "and aroused his jealousy with their graven images." So we often see this in scripture about God's jealousy being aroused by people turning from him and worshipping other idols. God doesn't like it. He doesn't like it when we put other things above him, because he's jealous for us. He's jealous for this relationship with us. And so I'm not going to read from it now, but if you want to look it up in your own time, if you look at 1 Corinthians 10, when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, who had a lot of issues going on in their church. And again, you know, he's telling the story about what's happened with the Israelites. And he's kind of putting it into the context of what the kind of things that they're getting up to and saying, you know, this is basically idolatry going on among you. And are you wanting to rouse God's jealousy? So we see this theme throughout Scripture of God's jealousy for us. He doesn't want us to worship other things and have other things above him. He's jealous for us. And, you know, why is God like this? And something which God is kind of teaching me about at the moment, and I don't feel like I have a full understanding of it, but I just want to touch on it today, is understanding God as the bridegroom God and the church as the bride of Christ. This is a picture for us that kind of really kind of encapsulates God as this passionate God who's jealous for us and is inviting us into deeper intimacy with him. And just a few little verses for us on this one. If you want to go to Matthew 9, verse 14. And this is the first time in Scripture where Jesus is kind of declaring himself. Obviously, we see the theme of God as the husband and the church as, or his people as his wife throughout the Old Testament. But in when Jesus is on the earth, if you look at verse 14, it says, "Then the disciples of John came to him asking, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?' And Jesus said to them, 'The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast.'" So the reason I wanted to bring up these verses is because Jesus is actually declaring himself in this place, in these verses, to be the bridegroom. So it's like we see a picture of Jesus in this. And then if you go to Revelation 19, verse 7, and as we know, Revelation is about the end, when the end will come, Jesus will return. And then it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." So the reason I wanted to pick out that verse is because I'm only going to touch on it really briefly, but there's loads more to say about this. But, you know, we kind of see that at the end of the time, everything is summed up in the marriage of the Lamb. So us, the church, as the bride, will be married to Jesus, the bridegroom. And it's kind of like the whole of history has been working up to this point where there is a marriage. And basically, we could sum that up in that this time is coming when we will have deep intimacy with God, that we as the church have been prepared as a bride for Jesus, the bridegroom, to have this deep intimacy with him. So there will come a time when it will reach its fullness, but kind of we're heading towards that. So when we understand Jesus as a bridegroom, we can understand him as this jealous, passionate God. Because a bridegroom doesn't want to share his bride with somebody else. You know, does everyone know that? Or vice versa. You know, you just want them. You want their full attention. You want them to think you're great and no one else. And so this is what God is like with the church. That he has this jealousy for us. He wants our complete devotion to him. And he wants to share himself with us. And just go with me to 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. Here, Paul is quoting an Old Testament scripture where it's talking about things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which not have entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And actually, I wrote it here in the New Living Translation, which I quite liked. No eyes have seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So we think about this verse in the context of this invitation to a deeper intimacy and relationship with God, of understanding the jealousy of God, that when we actually enter into that, there's something so, like, we can't possibly describe it in human words, that is available to us, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined. You know, in our human ability, we cannot imagine the depths that are available to us in intimacy with God. Maybe we can't even comprehend the level of love that God has for us and how he's jealous for our affections. And he's jealous to share his affections with us. It's just beyond comprehension. And, you know, I can share all this with you and hopefully it's sparking something new in your heart. Maybe you already know it, but maybe there's something deeper and maybe you don't know it at all. I don't know. But in order to pursue this, it takes us going away and searching ourselves. It takes us meditating on what's available. It takes us setting ourselves apart to God and seeking his face to really catch hold of what the Spirit is trying to say to us, of this invitation into intimacy with him, of this God who's jealous for us. He's jealous for you as an individual. So, are you getting it? You know, God is absolutely and utterly jealous for you. And I just want to say, there's lots more I can say, but I want to sum up so that we have time to respond to God. Is that I think, personally, the greatest thing that can happen in 2010 for us as River Church, but for the church generally in the world, is for us to know God as this jealous God who is incredibly passionate for us, affectionate towards us, and he wants all of us. And for us to respond to him by giving him our all. Because in that place of intimacy with him, which is a choice to pursue, which means that even when there's difficult things going on in our lives, or whatever the circumstances around us, we still pursue this intimacy with him. Out of that place, everything else flows. If we as a church are completely consumed with him, know his jealousy towards us, know that he requires all of us, if we are like laying aside idols in our lives, whatever they may be, you know, we are making that time to push into him. You know, it's quite simple. It takes time to really set aside for him, to meditate on who he is, you know, to get into the scripture, to pray. It's just quite, in a one way, it's quite simple, but it's a real battle to make that time. If we will go after that, if we will just let the Holy Spirit show us things in our hearts that prevent us from going for these things, you know, if we will repent for stuff that's holding us in chains, or, you know, forgive things which have happened to us, which are binding us, if we'll do that and seek his face, then we'll see things turn around in a really awesome way. And, you know, I haven't really got the words to describe it, but I just know that this is what God is calling us into. This is because he's absolutely jealous for us. And I keep on saying the same thing, but I can't really describe it. I just know it in a small measure that he's jealous. He's like, come away with me. He wants to woo you into his presence. But it's not going to magically happen. It's not like one day suddenly, oh, I'm in the presence of God. It requires us to actually respond to him and take that time away to be with him. You know, it requires us to make lifestyle changes so that our life is becoming consumed with him who's jealous for us. You know, it might be some painful decisions that we would have to make to do that. But it's always worth it in the end. You know, I think if you're starting out on pushing into God in this way, it might be a struggle at first. You might not feel anything. It might just be the discipline of just going after God, reading the Bible, doing the things that you know to do. But the more you invest into it and the more you go for it, the easier you will find it to connect with God. You know, the other day I was reading some of my journals from like years ago, and I was just, it was interesting to see how I was like really wanting to connect with God but struggling, you know, have my ups and downs and all this kind of stuff like that, which obviously still exists, but not in that same way, because I've had a history of pushing into God. It means that it's easier for me to push into God now than it was 10 years ago. And I think that's just the way that it works. Obviously, sometimes difficult things happen and, you know, it's not completely like that. But as a general rule, as we invest into it, we will find it easier to connect with God and to push into him. We'll know him more and we will become more of who he's created us to be. And, when Jesus is asked in Matthew 22, what the greatest commandment is, and he says, you know, it's simple, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That is the greatest commandment. That is what we're here for. You know, I spent a lot of my time thinking that, oh, the only reason we're on the earth is to tell people about Jesus. Obviously, that is part of it. But I've realized more and more that actually it's not just about that. The most important thing is about loving God. It is about pushing into him. It's about knowing him. And it's not just about knowing him in order for something to happen, whatever that may be in our lives that's important for us. Yeah, fruitful comes out of that place of intimacy, but it's about knowing him, just to know him, because knowing him is the most awesome thing of all. And so my prayer for myself, my prayer for us, is that we will become jealous for God, like he's jealous for us. That we won't let other things steal our affections, because we are so jealous for him, because we are so in love with him, we're so set on knowing him. That, I think, is the most important thing. You know, does anyone want to go for it? You know, but it will demand sacrifice. It will demand sacrifice. And, you know, some of us are already going for it, but there's even more to push into. There's a call into more of intimacy for God, with God. And so I've just shared with you a few thoughts and a few scriptures, and I haven't really explained it to the depth that I could have done, but I'm just believing that the Holy Spirit will bring revelation of this call into greater intimacy with him. And you know, we'll just take a few moments just to respond to God. You know, I just really feel that when I was thinking last night, that for some of us here, there are things in our lives that we really need to let go of, things that we need to repent of, things that we need to forgive. I mean, obviously forgiveness is sometimes a real process we have to choose to do more than once as part of the healing. I'm not trying to make light of difficult things, but there is something available to us in a greater level of walking in repentance and forgiveness that I think God wants us to discover. And for some of us, we feel blockages between us and God, and it's because we're holding things in our heart that we need to repent of or we need to forgive. And they're holding us in chains. And just really feel that in the response time, I just want us to take some time out by ourselves. You know, you might want to find some other space in the room if that helps you. You might want to write things down. But let's just ask the Holy Spirit, if there's like something stirring up in your heart where you're beginning to understand something more of God's jealousy for you, and you're like, yes, that's what I want to go for. That's what I want to know God's jealousy for me, and I want to be jealous for him. Then you're going to have to make choices for that to become a reality in your day-to-day life. You're going to have to choose to walk in this every day. It's a choice every day. And so you might need to ask the Holy Spirit just to begin to show you what that does that mean for you at this moment in your life. You know, because the Holy Spirit gives us grace to do it. It might be hard at first, but his grace is sufficient for us. This isn't like to make us feel bad and put a heavy burden on our backs. When God calls us into something, even though sometimes it demands everything of us, his grace is there to enable us to walk in it. And his grace is available for each one of you to walk in this. But you might need to make those painful decisions. And I just believe the Holy Spirit will just begin to show you what those things might look like in your life. And for some of us, maybe this is just time when the Holy Spirit is also going to bring to light maybe things that we need to repent of. You know, sometimes God brings to mind things and you're like, oh yeah, I didn't even realize that was an issue. And God just brings it up, and it just brings us into greater freedom. And just let the Holy Spirit search out your hearts. Don't search yourself. Let the Holy Spirit search you. To just bring up, if there's things you need to repent of, things you need to forgive, you might want to share that with somebody if that would help. But we'll just take a few moments. I just want to play. I've got a little tune on the iPod. Just be playing in the background. Just find some space with God and just ask God to reveal his jealousy for you and what that means for you, what things he wants you to clean up in your heart. Let's just receive the Holy Spirit. See, I just pray as just this song's coming on. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you so much that you are so jealous for us. We can't even begin to understand. And Lord, you are calling us into deeper intimacy with you that's far greater than anything we could possibly imagine with our human minds. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you just to reveal more of that to each one here. Would you reveal your affection for us, your deep love for us? Holy Spirit, would you show us how to give ourselves fully to you? Show us of things that we need to repent of, where we've raised up idols in our lives, things we need to forgive. Holy Spirit, we want to be cleaned up before you, Lord. Yeah, we just welcome your presence, Lord.